And I think we can all understand, you know, Green Bay isn't, a huge vacation destination. People are coming here to play with me.
Yo! Aaron Rodgers with a return to work press conference like we've never seen with this panel. Let's go.
Green Bay is nice in the summer.
If you can't commit to me past 2021, and I'm not a part of recruiting process and free agency, if I'm not a part of the future, then instead of letting me be a lame duck quarterback, if you want to make a change and move forward, then go ahead and do it.
There was that. There was the vacation in Green Bay line. There was naming every player. I mean, the long list of names of players that the franchise maybe could have treated in different ways, better ways. There was a lot in Aaron Rodgers' return to the podium today. Kevin Seifert wrote this up yesterday, by the way, whether Packers fans will have had enough with Rodgers after everything that went down this offseason. And now today, this. Mina Kimes, break it all down for us. What did you hear from Aaron Rodgers?
Well, Tony, there's a lot to unpack here, no pun intended, with Rodgers' comments about the organization, or rather, he couldn't bring himself to praise the organization, which I think is very telling. This was a very unusual press conference in terms of the level of candor, the proper nouns being thrown about, but at the end of the day, it's kind of stuff we already knew. He's unhappy with the front office. How they have communicated with him, how they have left him out of decisions, the fact that they didn't let him know in advance that they were drafting his replacement and thus didn't view him as the future of the team. We knew that stuff. He just said it out loud. As far as what it means for the future, we don't know beyond this season because there are still details to be worked out. We do know Aaron Rodgers is a Packer this season, which brings me to your next question about the fans and how it will all be received. I can tell you, having covered football or any other sport, it's pretty simple. If they win, nobody's going to care. If they come out of the gate and they smash New Orleans week one, no one's going to care about this offseason drama. No one's going to ask questions about Aaron Rodgers' future. If they lose, this is going to be like a house with cracks in the foundation. Yeah. When a storm hits, the water trickles up, and all of a sudden, all this drama is going to come back, and all the questions are going to come back. And to me, that's where the pressure lies here. It comes down to winning and losing, and that will determine whether or not this is a problem this season. Wow.
That was like a 30 for 30 right there from Mina Kimes. I want to get to the rest of the panel here, but one more question for you, Mina. 2 days ago, the story was there were concessions made on both sides. All is good in Green Bay. Do you see it that way today after hearing Rodgers today?
No! I mean, I don't see it being good beyond this season. I do have questions about the specific concessions in terms of what his exit strategy is. We know that they're voiding the last year, but my question is, what happens after this season? He suggested he's not going to be able to choose his destination. That's what I want to know. That's what Denver wants to know. That's what Carolina wants to know. And it's something we're going to learn more about, I think, in the coming days.
All right, that's our time. PTI's next. Around the horn. Kevin Blackstone, join us here on what you heard from Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I do like proper nouns. I'm a big fan of those. I do like candor. I do like hearing it from Aaron Rodgers, the guy who's in the middle of all this, rather than just hearing it from those who are around him or around other people who know him. So that's good. And to Mina's point, really, he just said what we kind of figured out. You know what? He's going to play one more year, and what's the end game for him? The end game for him will be kind of what it was for Tom Brady. He'll go someplace that thinks that adding him is going to mean they're going to be a Super Bowl winner. That will absolutely happen. Is he right in his critique of the team? He's absolutely correct. I mean, the Green Bay Packers have been run as an organization managerially the same way for like 50 years, and the rest of the league has changed. And I think that he needs to be recognized for his talent. He's right. People do come to that team right now to play with him because he's a quarterback that gives you an opportunity to get to the Super Bowl, if not maybe win it. And that's what people are looking for. Randall Cobb is not coming back there to go to the beach. In fact, there isn't a beach in Green Bay.
Is that another vacation shot?
No, I'm just saying.
Okay. I saw a head tilt there from L. Duncan. Let's bring you in here, L., what you just heard.
Well, you know, I'm watching this press conference and I was like, yo, did Aaron Rodgers just Joe Kim Noah Green Bay? Only when Joe Kim Noah went in on Cleveland, who wants to go to Cleveland? You want to go to like the vacation? He didn't have to actually play there. I can't believe that he did that, first of all. Secondly, look, like what, I don't know. He didn't endear himself to the fans today. I mean, I think that, I'm not sure that's important to Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. I think that this whole time we were sort of waiting on this buildup, right? It started in April and we were waiting on something. Some I must avenge my family, you have avenged or offended my family moment for us to go, this is why Aaron's so mad, because it can't just be about drafting Jordan Love, right? Like, what is this about? And today he revealed, well, what we already knew. And to that point, I think it was a total cop-out for him to blame the media, because what he did was just affirm that nobody exaggerated any of the turmoil that was happening between him and the Green Bay Packers. So I thought that was a little bit of a low blow in what was otherwise a very entertaining press conference.
June, let me ask it to you this way. Hearing there's going to be a separation after this season, you know, I don't want to say it this way, but mom and dad are getting divorced in a year. How is this current year sustainable?
It's probably not. I kind of think that this was the best case scenario given the turmoil of the circumstances. Aaron Rodgers was able to lay out everything that he felt. It almost felt like a therapy session today, him laying out everything that he's felt and confirming everything we've heard in the media. It almost felt like a turning point in terms of football player empowerment to a certain degree, because he laid out, I mean, there's only a handful of players in this sport who can do what he did today. It's Tom Brady, it's Patrick Mahomes, and it's Aaron Rodgers. He's a generational talent, so he was able to lay out all of the grievances that he had. The fact that he mentioned Jake Kumerow as kind of a turning point moment, it means that this has been building up for a really, really long time. Today was just the culmination of all of
it. Mina, back in.
Well, Dune, you make a good point about player empowerment. I think insofar as there's a reason why Aaron Rodgers feels like he can say all of this, which he is a Hall of Fame quarterback who has influenced the organization and feels, and I believe he's right in feeling the way he wasn't treated as such. That said, he's still in Green Bay, man. Like, he wanted out, reportedly. Well, he did not get out because the only leverage a player has is sitting out, and he did not want to sit out this season, and he is going to be a Green Bay Packer this year.
AB, last word.
And you know what? Those fans better embrace what he's already done for them. I mean, I have to underscore it once again. He just had arguably his best season ever. 70% completion, 48 touchdowns. All right, he's still performing, and he's not going to underperform this year just because he's unhappy with his situation.
It's been,
and he's going to try and get
the best. It's been said winning solves everything with fans, although I would argue their Airbnb prices really are close to the heart here. And if they're dropping after what he said about vacation homes in Green Bay, that might hurt a little bit too. We'll move on. As more teams report COVID and the tension between teams and vaccinations becoming more seen, first in news, Lamar Jackson had a positive test, so he's away from the Ravens now. But what you're seeing with teams, two specifically, Tampa Bay, Bruce Arians seems irritated that people are asking questions about whether the Buccaneers are vaccinated and following protocols. And Washington, Ron Rivera is passionate, he's frustrated, he's concerned for his own safety about his team's lowest in the league vaccination numbers. Rivera, treated for cancer last season, is immunodeficient. L. Duncan, where do you want to start?
I want to start there. I mean, listen, the league did about as close as they could to basically mandating that these players get vaccines last week when they had very harsh penalties for what happens if unvaccinated players cause any breakouts, right? They decided that they were going to hit them financially. Those would be the ramifications. And if that didn't convince some of these players to end up getting these shots, then what would? And it seemingly worked, because over the course of the last few days before the push to training camp, we saw the numbers really skyrocket in terms of how many teams had hit that 90% threshold, how many players suddenly had at least one vaccination. So much for the idea that they just needed more information. Apparently, that's all the motivation they needed. But unfortunately for Ron Rivera's team, that still wasn't enough to compel them to get a vaccination. So at this point, he is trying to appeal to their empathetic bone, the one that says, I am fighting cancer and I am here in between treatments because I care about this team. Do you not care enough about me? If you don't care about winning or the fact that you're going to have a competitive advantage, do you not care enough about me to help protect me so that I can be here with you and feel confident in doing so? And that's what he's trying to do at this point.
June Lee.
Yeah, I mean, I think Elle's totally spot on there. It shows that you know, even despite Ron Rivera's health struggles, that it can be a pretty cold world, even with people who are, you know, ostensibly your employees, people who you're coaching. This is one of those situations where the NFL has done as much as it could, and I honestly don't expect them to do more because of the way that the NFL is kind of conservatively governed in terms of how it operates in football. But this is a situation where it's clear that these teams that are more vaccinated are going to have a competitive advantage as we move forward into the season. And I'm sure that head coaches across the league aren't excited about that extra variable being thrown into the football scene and how it could derail a winning streak or something of the sorts.
But you said there, your personal opinion is you don't believe the league can mandate vaccination completely and utterly.
I mean, I think they can. I don't think that they're going to.
Kevin Blackstone, can I bring you in here?
You know, but the question is, why not? You know, I can't talk about the NFL in a vacuum here when we're talking about the vaccine. The Biden administration is about to roll out a federal mandate for federal workers and contractors. Have to get a vaccination or be tested on an extremely regular basis. We just had the Veterans Administration mandate that all of its healthcare workers would have to be vaccinated. The University of Maryland, where I teach, where my office is, in July, sent out a memo saying that all faculty, staff, and students who are going to be on this campus must be vaccinated. So this is something that's happening all around the country, as we well know, going into this school year, whether or not kids are going to be vaccinated or not, or have to wear masks. This is really one of those situations where the NFL is just like we're seeing in the NFL, what we're seeing in the rest of the society. And can it mandate it? It absolutely can.
It
is a private employer. It absolutely
can.
That's
my question.
And I would argue that it absolutely should.
Mina Kimes, whether it's justifiable or whether it's a conversation the league and players need to have and sort out in advance.
I think they're getting pretty damn close to a mandate, per to Elle's point. And we're seeing that reflected in the numbers. The compliance levels are higher in NFL teams and, frankly, many organizations and sports and beyond. But I want to go to Lamar Jackson, who tested positive today, as an example of why it's basically a mandate. We don't know if Lamar Jackson is vaccinated. He declined to disclose that. But if he's not, and let's say this happened during the season, he would miss a game. If he's vaccinated, you test positive twice in 24 hours, you get back in. Players know that, coaches know that, organizations know that, and it's why we are seeing these compliance levels go up, and I think they're going to continue to go up as the season gets closer.
Thanks, Pete. That's our horn. Here's our break. Coming up, we'll discuss Simone Biles with the news of the day. She won't compete in the individual all-around, and specifically, I want you guys to consider the very human response to compare or think back at how athletes have handled and overcome or failed in the face of adversity in the past, physical and mental, and how those successes and failures have been covered. Back in 2 minutes.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Biggest news in the world today, once again, Simone Biles. This release from USA Gymnastics that after further medical evaluation, Biles has withdrawn from the final individual all-around in order to focus on her mental health. There's still the possibility she'll compete in the individual apparatuses. That'll be decided next week. What happens when mental health collides with sports? Of course, I personally would argue it's always there. What are the twisties in getting lost in the air? What is owed to a team, a federation, and to an individual in the pursuit of gold? It's all in global view this week. Kevin Blackstone, where'd you like to start?
Well, I'd just like to start that this is a reminder to everyone that athletics at the highest level of competition has always been a connection between mind and body. And sometimes the mind is or is not there. Sometimes the body is or is not there. And this is absolutely no shame. This is a part of high-level athletic competition. And we have certain expectations of the greatest athletes we've ever seen when they're in the Klieg lights like Simone Biles is. And sometimes they perform beyond, and sometimes they may come up short. And that is one of the celebrations, I think, of athletics. And so I celebrate Simone Biles coming to the end of her Olympic career, not like she wants it to be, but being upfront about it and not hiding behind
it. Elle Duncan.
I think about the idea of this measuring stick moment in the Olympics is what Simone Biles is being compared to. That, of course, is Carrie Strug, right? And her quite literally, for pride of country, standing on one leg and powering through and crying, and she was in so much pain, but she was willing to do it for that gold medal and for her team. But in the years since, when we have heard about the allegations of abuse from the Carolis, when we've heard these gymnasts who say when they see those same moments, they see abuse. They see a girl that didn't necessarily feel empowered to advocate for herself and say, I'm too hurt to do this. So now I wonder, was it really about pushing through the pain, or did she not feel like she had a choice? And to that point, this is not the same thing, because Simone Biles has played through many, many injuries, and she has performed through many, many injuries. There is a difference between powering through pain and powering through the twisties, which is real. It's like having vertigo in midair, and in gymnastics, if that happens to you and you get the yips, you can not only seriously injure yourself, you can kill yourself. So it is not just another bad day at the office when it comes to this specific sport.
It's a very natural human emotion, right, to want to compare things to things you know about. Or so when you hear it, June, and the Carrie Strug is right there because it's gymnastics, and that was, of course, a physical injury right in front of our face with mental stressors involved. But you've also heard in the last 24 hours, can you imagine Tom Brady not coming out in the second half because they're down 28-3? He would be killed the next day. When you hear that, what do you think, June?
In a country that celebrates athletes and puts athletes on a pedestal like America does, that almost treats these top-tier athletes as gods among people, Simone Biles is willingly taking herself off the podium, the Olympic podium, this international stage, to tell us that she is human and that she goes through struggles. Her and Naomi Osaka are single-handedly, I think, starting an international conversation around mental health and changing the paradigm around how we talk about our mental health. As someone who has dealt with anxiety and depression, it's something that I celebrate, I think, is happening with this young generation. But I think part of the responsibility also falls on the media to treat these athletes as not as entertainers as human beings that we cover, because we have to have empathy towards everyone who's dealing with something, and we might not know what's happening, because mental health is health.
Thank you for your personal honesty there, June. And I addressed this yesterday, Mina, as the machine of GOAT, right? The unreal expectations, the culpability we in the media have for all of that. Do you see it that way? Tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I do. I think it goes beyond the media. I think it's society. I think we think in these binary terms of, well, did you power through and compete? And as Elle said, that is how we saw the Carrie Strug story when it happened. That's how I saw it when I was a young girl. That's how I saw athletes like Dominique Moceanu, who posted today about being 14 and winning that gold medal. And gosh, I idolized her, Tony. Yeah. But now I know, because she is sharing with us, she had to power through a very dangerous injury, right? She had a tibial fracture and she still competed. And looking back on that now, she says, I wish I could come forward like Simone Biles did today. And I am so glad that Biles is setting that example for the next generation, because that is a new page in sports.
We in the media, we have to show the ability to be, you know, have the critique and have the discernment, but also to do it with sensitivity and empathy. I mean, that's necessary, because we are culpable in all this. Social media is another thing altogether. I'm gonna read you a quote of somebody you may have heard of talking about it. For someone like myself, I don't know if I could have survived in this Twitter era. That was Michael Jordan, okay? He said that in Cigar Aficionado just recently. It's an amazing thing to consider and try to compare athletes from different generations and how, but you have to allow for the athlete to be human. We showed Carrie Strug and we showed Jean Vandeveld, which was a different thing altogether, and how that was covered. We can evolve as people who cover sports. And I showed you Michael Phelps, who may be the closest comparison to Simone Biles here. Just listen to Michael Phelps, how he talks about how he had thoughts of suicide. in his career as well, while he was still celebrated being the greatest of all time. It has to be the whole human. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, June, for your thoughts. Mina, L, showdown, 2 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Being traded to your division rival right before a game you're playing against your division rival. Kendall Graveman going from the Mariners to the Astros, going from one clubhouse to the other, has been the best pitcher Seattle's had all year. He was emotional. His teammates felt betrayed. GM Jerry DePoto says it probably doesn't make sense, but it's going to be an ongoing story. It all makes sense. Nita Kimes, dare I ask, what are the Mariners doing?
Ruining my life as usual. So, Tony, my head says this made sense. Graveman was on a one-year deal, got a talented young player. It's right for the organization. My heart says, the Astros? You traded him to the Astros right after an emotional win? I mean, I just can't with this team. I just can't.
I love that DePoto is like, he's like, wait for it. There's some big things coming. It's like when Michael Scott on The Office, he like made the whole office mad, so he promised him a fun surprise and kept floating stupid ideas like, what about an ice cream sandwich? No, that's not a good one. Okay, well, we'll see.
Mina Kimes, just wait, wait. There's more coming for you. Wait, wait, just wait. L. Duncan, take the FaceTime.
Oh, God. Okay, I want to take a moment to call out a friend. It was my daughter's third birthday this weekend, and someone did something cruel and unusual to her parents. They gave her a gift that required 8 batteries. 8 AA batteries, and they didn't give me a single battery. So for hours, I had to listen to my daughter go, can you get some batteries?
Oh, my goodness.
Just in case you need another reminder, folks, don't give people with children anything that requires batteries, anything that has glitter on it, or anything they have to keep alive. What are you doing? And also, thank you so much for the gift.
You chose violence. We'll see you tomorrow.
8 batteries?